Chapter 32. Chord Progressions. Do you know that our soul is composed of harmony? Leonardo da Vinci. What is a chord progression? A chord progression is a pattern of movement from one chord to another. Just about any piece of music has a chord progression. And even if it's a melody without the chords at all, there's still a chord progression implied by that melody. You could hear chord progressions called chord changes or even just changes by jazz musicians, as in, man, that cat can sure play those changes. Chord progressions are often very simple, involving only a few chords, but they can also be quite complex. The chord progressions we'll be going over will be of the simple variety. And like Johnny Cash said, all you need is three chords and the truth. Chord progressions are often repeated many times throughout a piece of music. All the progressions we'll be going over, with the exception of the 12-bar blues, are found most often at the end of sections or at the end of songs. These are special types of chord changes called cadences. Chord progression general guidelines. Voice leading. Remember all those pesky details about chord inversions you just learned in Chapter 31? Well, now you get to put that information to work, because inversions can make chord progression sound much more smooth. Voice leading is how one chord tone or voice moves to another. There are certain general rules, and if you follow them, you'll get a clean, clear-sounding chord progression. These aren't laws, but general guidelines, like the Pirate Code. Feel free to experiment with these rules. Doubling. Chord tones can be doubled without affecting the general quality of the chord from a harmonic analysis standpoint. Voices that are usually doubled are tonics and fifths. Thirds are doubled less often, and extensions are rarely doubled. For most of the examples here, I'm going to keep doubling to a minimum. No leaps. One of the first general rules is to avoid large interval skips from one chord tone to the next. This is called disjunct motion. The bass, or lowest part, or lowest voice, can ignore this rule without harming the sound of the chord progression. In order to show you a clear example, I'm going to ignore this jumping rule for the introduction of each chord in its basic position. Keep the common tone. There will often be notes that two chords have in common. If at all possible, you'll want to keep these similar notes in the same voice from one chord to the next. For example, from a C chord, C, E, G, to an F chord, F, A, C, there is a C that the chords have in common. If this C is in the top voice of the first chord, it should generally also be in the top voice of the second chord. This makes the chord change sound smooth and is also much easier to sing or play. Resolve toward the half step. An essential component of chord progressions is the movement of half steps between chords. These are called leading tones. Remember them from the harmonic minor scale? They lead our ear from one note to another. You'll see these the most, and they're most important, from the 5-7 to the 1 chord. These are usually the last two chords in a piece. If there's a half step from one chord to the next, move the appropriate voice toward the half step. For example, in the key of C, the 5-7 chord, the dominant 7th chord, is spelled G-B-D-F, and this moves to the 1 chord, which is C-E-G. The 3rd and the 7th, the B and the F, in the dominant 7th chord, should move to the tonic and the 3rd, the C and the E, in the 1 chord, because they are both a half step apart. So the B moves up to the C, and the F moves down to the E. And again, these are natural half steps. Similar and contrary motion. Similar motion is when two or more voices move in the same direction, either up or down. Contrary motion is when two or more voices move in opposite directions. So one goes up, one goes down. Our ears tend to like this second version more. Parallel motion. Parallel motion is a special type of similar motion in which the interval between the two parts remains the same from one chord to another. An example of parallel motion would be a major third between the upper two voices in one chord moving down or up to a major third in the top two voices of the following chord. Most parallel motion sounds fine, but parallel fifths, fourths, and octaves are usually frowned upon by our ears and by those who adhere to the strict rules of counterpoint. Experiment with this parallel motion to hear for yourself what they sound like and whether or not you like them. A word on the examples. Again, to keep things simple and uncluttered, we're going to use the key of C for all our examples. But, of course, these progressions can and do happen in every key. The first examples you'll see will be simple chords in root position in the treble clef. And once you've been exposed to the basic chord progression, I'll then subject you to a more complex version with both bass and treble clef and chords in inverted positions. Following are a few of the most common chord progressions. The 1-4-5-7-1 progression. This progression is probably the most common of all progressions in Western music. When you hear it, you'll most likely recognize it. It can be found in nearly every style of music, and though it'll appear in other parts of a piece, it's most common at the end of a song or a section. Even if you don't consider yourself a piano player, sit down at one and play through these progressions. These are example 1 and 2 on the book's website at basicmusictheory.audio. It might take some effort and perhaps a review of the bass or treble clef and the piano keyboard, but it'll be worth it. To understand these concepts intellectually is one thing, but to hear them and play them is the whole point. It's much better to play them and not understand them than it is to understand them and not be able to play them. So play them. Here's the 1-4-5-7-1 progression in C with chords in root position, and this is example 1. So the one chord is the C chord, then followed by the F chord, which is the 4 chord, then the G7 chord, that's a 7th chord, 4 notes, or the 5-7, or the dominant 7th chord, and then the 1 chord, which is C again. This top example, number 1 on the website, follows few rules of voice leading, but it's simple and clear, so you can see and hear the basic chord progression. The example that follows has the same notes as the first example, but in different voices, and some of the chord tones are doubled. The second version follows the rules of voice leading and sounds much smoother, so play it. And example 2 on the website is labeled. You can see the voice doubling, the common tones, and the half-step motion within the chord, so do go check that out and play it. Notice that the 4 chord, this is the second chord in this example, is in second inversion, and this is so that the common tone, the C, remains in the bottom voice. The F remains in the same voice from the 4 to the 5-7. The 5-7 chord is also in the second inversion, so that the bottom voice only moves a whole step from chord to chord. From the 5-7 to the 1, the leading tones resolve toward the half-step in contrary motion. The F goes down to the E, and the B in the bass clef goes up to the C. See if you can pick out some of the parallel motion and some of the other contrary motion. It's in there. This progression is in relatively close harmony and is only one of many, many, many possibilities. The 2-5-1 progression. This is another very common chord progression used in everything from pop songs to country to jazz and many, many other styles. The movement between chords in the first example here, that's example 3, with chords in root position, it's an excellent example of disjunct motion. So here in example 3 is the 2-5-1 progression in the key of C, all root position. Focus on the clef you're most comfortable with, whether it's bass or treble. Notes are the same in each clef. And example 3 has the D minor, then the G7, then the C chord, or the 2, the 5, and the 1 chord in the key of C. And now in example 4 for the same progression, but one that follows more of the guidelines for voice leading. This time, see if you can spot the voice doublings, the common chord tones, the half-step motion, and the contrary motion. It's in there. As I began to write out this example, example 4, a tune came on that caught my ear because it used the 2-5-1 progression over and over for several measures, and it sounded good, so I figured out how it moved, transposed it to C major, and put it to the right in example 4. And the chords in this example, as written, would be D minor slash F, G7 slash D, C. Or 2-6, 5-4-3, and 1. Play example 4 on the piano too, and try it in other keys as well as with other voicings and other inversions. Once you get the sound in your head, you'll recognize this progression all over the place. Chord progressions cannot be copyrighted. Jazz musicians and others took advantage of this by putting new melodies over familiar chord progressions. Thelonious Monk's Rhythmning is just one of many tunes that use the changes from I Got Rhythm by George and Ira Gershwin. In fact, this one's so common, it's called Rhythm Changes. The 3-6-2-5-1 progression. This is another very common chord progression, similar to the 2-5-1 progression. The difference, of course, is the added 3 and 6 chords before the 2-5-1. Here in example 5 is the 3-6-2-5-1 progression in C, all the chords in root position. And these chords are E minor, A minor, D minor, G7, and C. Again, in the second real-world example, this is example 6 on the book's website, see if you can pick out all of the things that you've been looking for. Voice doubling, parallel and contrary motion, half-step motion, and common chord tones. Especially focus on the 3 and the 6 chords, because you haven't had those yet. Always be aware of what instrument or instruments you're writing for. The bass clef part in the example here, example 6, has quite a stretch in the 2 chord, something only a large-handed piano player would be capable of playing. However, if this was a score for a 4-part brass quintet, there wouldn't be a problem. Plagal cadences, 4-1. The progressions you've had so far all end with the 5-7 chord, or the dominant 7th chord, moving to the 1 chord. There's another type of progression, or cadence, that uses the motion of the 4 chord to the 1 chord. This is example 7 on the website. By now, there's no need to show you these chords in basic root position, so I'm going to just jump right into a real example of this progression. So there. Good work. This type of cadence, the 4-1, is called a plagal cadence, and has an open-ended quality to it, as though it could go on and on. Use them if you have a song that fades away over a repeat, or uses a repeating melody line. Plagal cadences have a different sound and are fun to play around with. Some plagal cadences could be the 1-4-5-4-1, shown here in example 7, or the 1-2-4-1, the 1-5-6-4-1, and the most recognizable cadence found in the last few bars of the 12-bar blues, which you'll learn next. The chords in example 7 are C, F, G7, F, C, or 1-4-5-7-4-1. The 12-bar blues progression. Remember the blues scale? It's the scale that's associated with the 12-bar blues form. There have been volumes and volumes written on the blues, and if you're looking for in-depth coverage, this ain't the place. This section will give you just the generic version of the 12-bar blues and how those chords move through the progression. Some artists, dead and living, who play and or sing the blues are Bessie Smith, Buddy Guy, Muddy Waters, Ma Rainey, Robert Johnson, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Stevie Ray Vaughan, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker. The list is nearly endless, and these are just a few of the big names of the blues. Jazz is based on blues, so as you'd guess, lots of jazz artists can shred on blues tunes. People like Dizzy Gillespie, Lester Young, Billie Holiday, J.J. Johnson, Ella Fitzgerald, and more others than can be quickly named. Lots of other musical artists also dabble in the blues forms, from Eric Clapton to Norah Jones, to James Taylor, to Aaron McKeown, to Bonnie Raitt. The 12-bar blues is basically a 12-measure chord progression repeated over and over for the entire song. There are variations, but 12 bars is so standard that it's safe to say that 99% of blues tunes follow the 12-bar format. Each Roman numeral in example 8 represents one measure, and if you count them, there are 12. Try playing these chords in this order, and you'll most likely recognize the sound. Here's the basic pattern of the 12-bar blues in example 8. And if you look at it, they're all 7th chords, so I'm just going to say the number of the chord, but there is a small 7 to the right of each of these numbers so that you know they're all 7th chords. And that would be 1, 1, 1, 1, that's the first 4 measures, then 4, 4, 1, 1, those are the next 4 measures, and then 5, 4, 1, 1. And notice the 4, 1, 1, that 4-1 is a plagal cadence. So in example 8, I've given you just the Roman numeral, so the generic chord progression. Let's do this in the key of C. So this would be C7, F7, and G7 would be the 1, 4, and 5 chords respectively. So if we went through that progression again, it would be C7, 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 C7. Then F7, F7, C7, C7, then G7, F7, C7, C7. Again, this is a very basic version of the blues. Blues progression variations. There are several variations of the standard blues progression above. You can put a 4 chord in the second measure. There's a minor blues progression that uses minor chords and often a 3-4 time signature. The rules for chord substitutions can be applied to the blues to give it a different flavor, too. For a stellar example, check out the changes on Charlie Parker's Blues for Alice. And when you play the blues, even if someone's doing maybe a little bit different version than you, it still sounds good. Now, once you play it through a couple times, if you're listening, good players will adapt to each other's variations of the blues, and they'll end up all basically on the same page, playing the same progressions. It's pretty cool to watch it happen. It's even cooler when it happens while you're playing. Moving on. So there you have it. 4 of the most common chord progressions in one easy chapter. Be sure to try all of these chord changes in as many keys as you can stomach, in as many different ways as you can think of. You'll be a much better musician for it if you do. Coming up next after the review for this chapter is the review for all of Part 6. The next part, and the very last one, covers more information on subjects you already know, like dots after a note, faster types of notes, more accidentals, and a few different meters. Chapter 32, Study Guide. Number 1. What is a chord progression? A chord progression is the movement from one chord to another. Number 2. What is another name for a chord progression, and by whom is it usually used? That would be chord changes, or changes, used by jazz musicians. Number 3. What is disjunct motion? That is a leap of more than a second. Number 4. What is the rule about disjunct motion in chord progressions? You want to keep it to a minimum in the inner and upper voices, but it's okay in the bass voice. Number 5. What is the rule about common tones moving from one chord to another? You want to keep the common tones in the same voice. Number 6. What is contrary motion? Contrary motion is when one voice goes up and the other voice goes down, or vice versa. Number 7. What is parallel motion? This is when two voices are moving in the same direction with the same interval between them. Number 8. Which types of parallel motion should be avoided generally? That's parallel fourths, fifths, and octaves. Number 9. What chords are used for the 1-4-5-7-1 progression in the key of B-flat? That would be B-flat, E-flat, F7, B-flat. Number 10. Where would you be likely to find a progression like this? You find the 1-4-5-1 progression at the end of sections and the end of songs. It's called a cadence. Number 11. What chords are used for the 2-5-1 progression in the key of G? And though I didn't say it this time, mostly out of habit, because that 7, the 2-5-7-1, when it's rattled off by musicians in context, usually the 7 is implied, it's not said. So if I was talking to someone about a particular chord change, I'd just say it's a 2-5-1, and we all know that it's a 2-5-7-1. And those two, the 2 and the 1, might be all different kinds of chords. It could be a first inversion, second inversion, could be anything. So just generally speaking, 2-5-1 means 2-5-7-1. So we want a 2-5-1 in the key of G. And that would be A minor, D7, G. Number 12. What chords are used for the 3-6-2-5-1 progression in the key of F? That would be A minor, D minor, G minor, C7, F. Number 13. What is a plagal cadence? That's a cadence in which the 4 chord is followed by the 1 chord, as in the last 4 measures of the blues. Number 14. What is the sound quality of a plagal cadence? A plagal cadence has an unfinished, sort of open-ended feel, as though it could go on and on. Number 15. What is the basic progression for the 12-bar blues? That would be, and each number in this case is a Roman numeral, and each number is also an entire measure. So the 12-bar blues, the 12 measures are 1, 1, 1, 1, 4, 4, 1, 1, 5, 4, 1, 1. And each of those chords is a seventh chord. Number 16. Did you sit down at the piano and play these chord progressions? Please say yes. Practical use exercises. Number 1. Either print the staves from this book's website or draw a pair for your own. Use a bracket like the examples you've seen in this chapter. This is for the piano keyboard. In the key of F major, write out an arrangement for piano, guitar, multiple voices, or instruments using the 1-4-5-7-1 chord progression. Play or sing the progression as a group until it feels comfortable. Use the correct accidentals to change the progression from major to minor, or lowercase 1, lowercase 4, uppercase 5-7, lowercase 1. Play the minor progression until it feels comfortable. Switch chord voicings. If you don't have access to a few other musicians to toy around with this, you can do it with a piano. Number 2. Write out a chord progression in the key of F major and use one of the plagal cadences mentioned in this chapter, either the 1-4-5-4-1 or the 1-5-6-4-1 or the 1-2-5-4-1 or the last four measures of the blues, which is 5-4-1-1. Play and or sing what you've written. Again, if you can get together three or four or more people, that's a really fun way to do this exercise. Or if you're all by your lonesome, you can do it on the piano. Number 3. Pick your favorite key signature. Outline the one chord by either playing or singing each chord tone. Try to hear the whole chord in your head as you do this. So if you're playing a single instrument, like a trumpet or clarinet or flute or whatever, or single notes on a piano or a guitar, as you're playing one note, try to hear the other three or four notes. An even better way to do this, to help you sort of gain experience in listening and putting that sound in your head, is to play the single note, sing it, and then as you sing that note, play the chord. And then do the same thing with each note of the chord for the whole chord. This is great ear training. So that was just the one chord. Do the same for the 4 chord and then the 5-7 chord. Try to do this exercise with two or more people at once if you can. It's more fun. Be sure to specify a meter or beat and the length of each chord so you can change chords together.